Welcome to the Oxford University United Methodist Church podcast, where each week you'll find new sermons from both our traditional service and our more contemporary journey service. For more information about our church or to contact us, please visit OUUMC.org. And as always, thanks for listening.
We're moving through a series in this new year, You Are What You Love. And what we've been talking about over the course of these weeks is that what we love, the direction of our heart shapes who we are. It shapes our actions, it shapes our words, how we treat people, how we respond in this world. And we've claimed that. We've also claimed that oftentimes in life that we might not love what we think we love. And so because of that, we have to shape our hearts. We have to work in a certain way so that we can give our hearts to Christ over and over and over. And a few weeks ago, we talked about the importance of worship. How critical it is week after week after week to show up to worship with God's people, to hear the story again of God's goodness. And last week we talked about how we have to guard our hearts, how we have to move through the week, turning our routines into rituals, finding moments to extend worship in our daily lives so that we every day can turn our hearts to God. And today what we want to talk about is how do we continue to teach our hearts to love the right thing? And that's what Paul helps us with in Thessalonians. So let's pray as we prepare to look at that together. God, we are redeemed by your Son Jesus and by his grace. We've gathered today to sing about how, even though at times, maybe right now, we feel like we're outsiders, your love and grace draw us in, and you, God, are worthy of our praise, worthy not just of the praise from our lips, but worthy of our entire lives. And so, God, we would pray, not just on this day, but every day, God, that you would continue to shape our loves, that we might live with you and for you in your world, that others might experience your life and love in the lives that we live. So God, guide us today as we seek to figure out how it is that we learn to live and to love. In the name of Christ we pray, amen. Yeah, parenting, any parents out there, a couple parents here and there, maybe some aspiring parents one day. Here's what you learn about parenting real quick. Parenting is awesome and fantastic, right? Parents, some parents are agreeing with that this morning. Parenting is also terrifying. Am I right about that, folks? Absolutely terrifying. From the first moments of parenting, it's terrifying. I remember when we were getting ready to go home from the hospital with our firstborn, and the pediatrician was there with us. We asked the pediatrician, hey, so when are we going to see you again? And the pediatrician said, well, somebody from my office will call. I'll probably see you in about 4 weeks. And my first response to him was, we have to keep this alive for 4 weeks without you? Absolutely terrifying that they would send a child home with us at that point in our lives. And life full, parenting full of those moments where you feel overwhelmed, shocked, just unbelievable that this is happening at this moment. And parents, if you've been a parent long enough, you know one of the most terrifying moments as a parent, right? It's that moment when you as a parent slide into the passenger seat of the car, and that sweet little baby that you 15, 16 years ago, you had brought home from the hospital, that child slides behind the driver's wheel of the car, right? It's one of those moments where your life flashes before your eyes, and suddenly this child who can't remember to put the milk in the fridge is behind a one-ton death trap, pointing it down the road with you, and you can't do anything, right? You can do absolutely nothing, right? Except mumble to yourself things like move left, move left, right? That's all you can do. Absolutely terrifying. But here's what you know. Here's what you know about that moment. When someone needs to learn to drive, they can't learn to drive by reading the owner's manual of the car or the Mississippi driver's license manual. They can't learn to drive a car by watching a YouTube video or watching all of the Fast and Furious movies. That's not going to help them learn to drive a car. How do you learn to drive a car? By driving a car with someone who can help you learn to drive a car. That's how we learn. Back in the dark ages, they gave driver's licenses in Mississippi to people when they turned 15. right? How many of you out there got your driver's license at 15? The state got much wiser after we got our driver's licenses. I got it on the first day I could get my driver's license, right when I turned 15. A couple months later, we were going to see my grandparents in South Louisiana, and my mom drove us from our home in North Mississippi across the state line into Louisiana. We stopped at the rest stop. And as we were getting back in the car, my mom handed me the keys to the car. And she said this, "You're going to drive the rest of the way," which was awesome, right? Except what was between the rest stop and my grandparents' house? New Orleans, Louisiana, and this thing right here, right there, that thing. And so about 3 hours later, maybe 4 hours later, it was about a two-hour drive, we arrived at my grandparents' house, and there were imprints on the steering wheel at 10 and 2. But I learned to drive in a big city that day. How? By driving in a big city with someone who is there to guide me. Learning to drive a car teaches us something important about how we learn in life. It reminds us there are two distinct ways of learning. The first way of learning is learning with books and a teacher, where you're given knowledge and you give knowledge back. That's instruction. It's important and it has its place. But the other kind of learning is a learning where there is a master and an apprentice, one who is learned, one who is learning. And there is a growing together, a passing on of what can be to that other person. Instruction. Giving and returning knowledge is important, and it has its place, but it has its limitations. For instance, you can read all the cookbooks you want. You will never become a chef, right? You can watch the Super Bowl tonight. You will not be a pro athlete tomorrow, I promise you. In order to become something more, we have to do more than just have instruction. We have to have what's called imitation, where we have moments in our life where we attach ourselves or watch someone who is a little farther ahead in the journey from us, and we allow their life to shape our life. Imitation is a crucial, crucial part of learning. And here's the thing. I think we forget that in the church, in the body of Christ sometimes. Because so often we make learning about what it means to be a follower of Jesus simply about instruction, about showing up for a sermon once a week and somebody up front giving you some knowledge. Or we go sit in a class and we absorb what a teacher has to teach us. Or sometimes we read a book about Christianity or about Jesus or about how to live the life. And there's nothing wrong with that. But that kind of instruction in the Christian life has its limitations, because here's the thing. You can read all the books about Jesus you want. You can sit in all the classes and seminars about Jesus you want and still never grow into the life of Christ. It requires us to practice living the life in real time with real people to guide us. And Paul knew that. Paul writes about that in the book of Thessalonians. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the book of Thessalonians. The book of Thessalonians, we think, was the first book of the New Testament written. It's the earliest Christian thought, written even before the Gospels were written down. Paul wrote this book early on. And it wasn't a book. He didn't write a book. He wrote a letter to the book at Thessalonica. This little bitty group of Christians living in this port city by the Aegean Sea, people from all over the world there. And Paul and a couple of his buddies, Timothy and Silas, had planted this church. They had started this church. They loved that church. And Paul writes this letter early on. And what we get here in this earliest Christian writings, we get this window. We get this little window into the life of the church from the very earliest of days. And here's what we find out about the church in its very earliest days. Paul and his friends, when they went to plant this church, they didn't just go to hand off some information about Jesus and then left and went somewhere else. They invested their lives in these people. Here's what we hear in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. Paul says, "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us." From the very very first moments of the early church, the way that people learned and grew in the faith was when people invested their lives in one another. When people just a little bit ahead in the journey of following Jesus began to pull others along with him. And those who were starting the journey with Jesus Christ began to give their lives to those just a little bit ahead in the journey. And this paints for us such an important picture of what we're called to do as the body of Christ some 2,000 years later. That we're to be a people who don't just pass information back and forth, but to understand that the faith, the life that we're called to, is not something that's just taught to us. It's something that's caught, something that we catch by watching other people, by imitating other people, by modeling our lives on other people that we know. A couple weeks ago, a guy named Shane Claiborne was here at OU. Any of you come see, get to hear Shane Claiborne? He was absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. If you haven't read any of his books, pick up The Irresistible Revolution. You'll be glad that you did. But when he was here, Shane shared some of his story, how he grew in the faith, his journey in the faith. And here's what Shane Claiborne said. He said, when he was in college at Eastern University in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, he and some of his buddies, and this is college students, I love you, this is what you do. They decided they wanted to go work with Mother Teresa in the streets of Calcutta. And so they worked around, and you know what they found? They found a phone number for Mother Teresa. And they called Mother Teresa. And Mother Teresa said, come on. And so they went on. They spent a summer working with Mother Teresa and the nuns there in the streets of Calcutta. They worked among the poorest of the poor children. They massaged the backs and the legs of people who were dying. They helped people with leprosy, people who were sick, who had no hope. They spent their summer learning from Mother Teresa, watching Mother Teresa, listening to Mother Teresa. They learned to imitate this one who knew Jesus and lived for Jesus. And it changed them. So let me ask you this morning, who are you imitating? Who do you have in your life that's a little bit ahead of you in the journey that you can learn from? Who is it that you could maybe look to? And maybe they never know that you're looking to them. Maybe you just kind of follow them along, you listen to them, you make sure that sometimes you're in their presence. Or maybe it's somebody that you need to ask questions of, how do I do this? What do I do in this situation? How do I forgive? How do I love this person? Maybe you need someone who can give that to you in your life. Who do you have that you can learn from, that you can imitate? It's so important for us as followers of Jesus to understand that, yes, we need those moments where we're listening to sermons and we're sitting in small groups and we're learning in Sunday school and we're reading the books, but we need those people who can help us live this out in real time. So we need those people we can imitate, but there's another piece of this, I think, that we miss sometimes, that we need those people we can imitate, but then there are moments in our lives where we have to step out of imitating and actually live that life. What I love about the story of Shane Claiborne that he tells about going to Calcutta and coming home is that when they got home, he and his buddies, they did not sit around saying, you know what, can't wait till next summer when we get to hang out with Mother Teresa again. They didn't say, hey, let's find the next book written about Mother Teresa. Let's read that together. They didn't call Mother Teresa for more advice. You know what they did when they got back to Philly? They lived it. They lived it. It changed where they lived. It changed how they spent their money. It changed the causes that they would support. It changed how they lived their lives day in and day out. And there come moments for us as followers of Jesus when we've learned from people, when we've watched people, that there are these moments where we suddenly have to decide we're going to step out and we're going to try. We're going to live this life. We're going to live as followers of Jesus, and we're going to learn along the road. As we have success following Jesus, as we fail following Jesus. You know, one of the things, all of you who have learned to drive, eventually there came a moment where the person who taught you to drive was not in the passenger seat with you anymore, right? Did you keep driving after that? Yeah, you did. You didn't want your mom sitting in the passenger seat when you went to prom, did you? Yeah, I mean, you kept driving. But there comes a moment where we have to decide we're going to take that scary step of trying to live faithfully. This is how Paul puts it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, if I can find that. If you're looking for 1 Thessalonians, you've got to turn to the right page. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. He says, as you know, we dealt with each one of you like a father and his children. There's that mentoring, that we're a little bit farther along than you part of it. Urging and encouraging you and pleading that you lead a life worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Lead a life. The Greek word for lead, this is actually one of the few places it's ever translated as lead. Most of the time is translated as walk. So what Paul is saying to these Christians, he says, we expect you to walk. We expect you to walk this life. And then near the end of the letter in chapter 4, Paul writes this to them. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you learn from us how you ought to live and to please God, as in fact you're already doing, you should do so more and more and more. Keep walking the faith. He's telling, you know what you've learned? You've learned from us. Now break free. Go live this on your own. And here's what I think maybe Paul is encouraging Christians like you and me to do. He's saying this. If you want to know what it's like to forgive someone, then you know what you need to do? Forgive someone. Don't just talk about forgiving. Don't just read about forgiving. Don't just ask other people about forgiving. Start trying to forgive someone and enter into that difficult journey on your own. If you want to know more scripture, you know what you probably need to do? You probably need to teach other people scripture. Maybe you need to go teach our fourth graders or our junior highs. Or maybe you need to lead a small group or a Bible study, and you're sitting here thinking, Eddie, I'm not qualified to do that. You know, my Bible has 3 inches of dust on it. I'm not ready for that yet. But you will be as you walk in the faith. Or maybe you're thinking, I sure do need to learn how to love better. I need to learn how to love people in the world. You know how you're going to learn to love people? By loving people. So what if you went to Interfaith Compassion Ministries and you said to Lena Wiley, who runs that ministry, I want to help you? Or what if you went to one of the school counselors or one of the principals at one of our schools and you said, you know what, I sure would like to mentor a kid. I don't want to just buy Christmas presents. That's a great thing. But I don't want to just buy Christmas presents for this kid. I want to walk life with this student to help maybe move the needle of their life just a little bit in how they learn, how they perceive the world, how they live in the world. Maybe you could learn to love in that way. Or maybe it's as simple as getting to know your neighbors. If you want to learn to love, maybe it's time for you to get to know the neighbor whose dog barks all night long, right? If you want to live the faith, yeah, we need to learn from others, but there comes a moment when you simply need to live the faith. Because that's how we learn. So I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you this week. Couple the two sides of this. I want to challenge you this week. If you don't have someone that you can imitate, if you don't have someone who's just a little ahead of you in the journey this week, maybe begin to think, what friendship do I need to begin to pursue? How can I place myself, whether it's in a small group or Sunday school class, where I can meet some folks ahead of me in the journey? But don't just do that. Learn the faith by living the faith. That's how we grow as disciples. That's how you will grow as a disciple of Jesus. Let me pray for you this morning. God, our heart's desire is to know and to love your Son Jesus. We know in some sense that he has done for us what we could not do for ourselves. He has set us free. He has set us free from sin and death. God, help us to live into that. Help us to follow the example of the early church, finding folks who we can imitate, so that we can live this life, so that one day, God, we might be the people. We might be the people that other people look to learn from, to shape their lives after us. God, continue to grow in us and through us, and open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to the ways that we can enter the journey with you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you've been blessed and challenged by today's podcast. Check back next week to hear the latest sermons from Oxford University United Methodist Church.